Okay, lesson six. Let's see if we can do this the remaining of the morning. And we'll learn about the noun. So the previous two lessons, we've covered the verb. Remember, fundamental difference in words, the difference between a verb and a noun. So words, we're going to learn about logos, which is word, and ha logos, the word. So ha there is the article that gets put in front of word. In a simple sentence, like ha apostolos lege ton logon, ha apostolos lege ton logon, the apostle speaks the word, there are three parts, three main parts, the subject, the verb, and the object. So the apostle, ha apostolos, is the subject. He's the person who does something. He speaks. Lege is the verb, indicates the action that is done. And then the word, ton logon, is the object, the thing that is done or affected by the doing. And now in English, we usually show the subject by putting it before the verb and the object by putting it after the verb. So we say English is it's a subject-verb-object way of working, SVO, subject-verb-object. Other languages behave differently, for those of you that have learned other languages. In Greek, it is usually the ending of the word which shows most clearly whether it is the subject or the object, not the order of words. Now, in English, if you change the order of words, you change the meaning of the sentence completely, because so this example up here, I put on the board, Peter gives Mary's book to Paul. If you change the order of Peter and Paul, and you put Paul at the beginning and Peter at the end, you've suddenly changed Paul from being the object to being the subject, and Peter from the subject to being the object. And you've changed the meaning of that sentence. Peter gives the book of Mary to Paul, and then you move Mary to somewhere else, you change the meaning of the sentence. Greek works by, rather than changing meaning by word order, changing meaning by the form of the noun, the ending of the noun. So in Greek, it's usually the ending of the word which shows most clearly whether it is the subject or the object, not the order of words. And usually, the ending os indicates a subject and on indicates an object. Now, in due course, you're going to find out this is true for masculine nouns, and then you'll find there are feminine nouns and neuter nouns in gender. So, homarkos graphe ton logon, and graphe ton logon homarkos both mean Mark writes the word, even though in the first case the order is SVO, so subject, verb, object. In the second case, it's verb, object, subject, VOS. When we want to understand a Greek sentence, we must always read it right through to the end, keeping alert to notice the various subject and object indicators. So you have to get out of the English way of thinking of expecting the subject, verb, object, because you might not get the subject until the very end. And again, if you've learned another language, this can be helpful. Latin doesn't get taught much these days. Any of you who've learned Latin, you have to wait till the very last word to get the verb in Latin. In Hebrew, by contrast, you get the verb the very first word. It's something that's very hard for us to do, because we naturally want to hear a language through our own language, and we have to try and get out of that way of thinking. And this is one of the great values of learning foreign languages, is to get accustomed to a different way of a language working. Okay. Now, this example I have up on the board, Peter gives Mary's book to Paul. So we have a subject. So what's our subject in there? Peter. We have, the verb is gives. We have a direct object. Book. Book is the direct object. We have an indirect object. To Paul. And then we have this other word, Mary's, which you could also render as of Mary, which is telling us a little bit more about the book. Now, we could put there also Peter's friend gives Mary's book to Paul, and then we'd have also the Peter's would be telling us a bit more about the friend. So that, in this case, the Mary's is the object, the direct object is book, and the Mary's is telling us something about the book. Mary herself is not the direct object. Okay. Now, in Greek, those various things are all going to go have different endings. The subject, the direct object, the indirect object, and the noun that tells us something more about one of those other nouns. So, that's what we're going to go on and learn now. Section 2. Here's where we're going to learn about the subject. We have logos as a word. Logos. Ha logos. Ha logos. The word. Logoi. Words. And hoi logoi. The words. So we see the endings we have there are os for the singular and oi for the plural. These are the endings for a noun that is the subject, what we call the nominative case. And for nouns, we call it, these are case endings. And the direct, and the article is ha and hoi for singular and plural. And again, we will learn that these are for masculine nouns. So, logos, aletheis, logos, aletheis, a true word, and ha logos, aletheis, estin, ha logos, aletheis, estin, the word is true. So, ha logos there being the subject in the nominative case. So, we have the top of page 23, logoi and logos. Logoi, logos is words and a word and the plural, and those are indefinite. They don't have the article. And then, ha logos and hoi logoi. Ha logos, hoi logoi, the word and the words, and those do have the article attached to them. Number 3, hoi logoi aletheis eisen. Hoi logoi aletheis eisen. The words are true. So notice, yeah. And number 4, ha logos aletheis esten. Ha logos aletheis esten. The word is true. So notice that the adjective changes as well from aletheis, and the verb changes between asin, the third plural, and estin, the third singular. Okay, so that's the subject, what we call the nominative case. Section 3 covers the object. Ton logon, ton logon, the word, when the word is being used as the object or the direct object, and tous logus, the words, when it's in the plural as the object, tous logus. So our endings for the masculine, for the object, are on and us, and for the article it's ton and tous, ton and tous. So we have graphe tous logus, graphe tous logus, he writes the words. Graphe tous logus ha apostolos, graphe tous logus ha apostolos. Now we're told more specifically who the subject of graphe is, rather than just being some vague he. It's specifically ha apostolos, the apostle writes the words. And even though the apostolos is put right at the end of the sentence, we know that that is the subject because of the form of the word, of the ending that it has. Right? See that? Acuite autus. Acuite autus. You hear them. So you see autus there, the pronoun, and it has that us ending indicating that it's plural and it's the object. You hear them. And then we'd have to know from context what the them is or are. So, our examples. We have number one, graphe tous logos. Graphe tous logos. He writes the words. Number two, legomen logos. Legomen logos. We speak words. Without an article there. Number three, graphe logon. Graphe logon. He writes a word. Number four, graphe tous logos ha prophetes. Graphe tous logos ha prophetes. The prophet writes the words. And again, we have the subject right at the end. You have to read to the end of the sentence before you can fully make sense of it, before you find who the subject of graphe is, that it is a specific subject. The prophet writes the words. Number five, legete tus logos kai akouamen autus. Legete tus logos kai akouamen autus. You speak the words. And we hear them. So the autus has the ending for plural object, tus ending. And we look back to see what it refers to. It refers to the tus logos. And graphes ton logon kai anagnosko auton. Graphes ton logon kai anagnosko auton. You write the word, so graphes use singular, write the word, and I read it. Auton, be singular, referring to ton logon. So, that's the object, or we might more specifically say, the direct object of the verb. Section 4, and that's the what we call the accusative case. Is the direct object. So nominative case is the subject, accusative case is the direct object, or simply the object. Number four, to logu, of the word, and ton logon, of the words. Ton logon of the words. Here translated as of the word or of the words. So what do we call that in English? Well, it is the genitive case and it's a possessive. So it, we call that possessive. So it's told it's the word. This is the genitive case. And one of the main meanings of the genitive case is indeed possessive, but it can mean a variety of other things. But in one way or another, this case tells us something more about the noun that it's attached to. So you would never get to logu on its own. It's always going to be attached to some other noun. And it's going to tell us something more about that other noun. And probably the primary, the most frequent use is it's going to tell us possession. But it's not always going to be possession. There's going to be a wider range, as we'll find. But and this where is where it becomes really important when you get a feel for how it is functioning. But for the moment, we'll take it as being expresses possession. And but think of it in terms of it's telling us more about some other noun. So, u and on are the endings for this. the masculine, and then to and tone are the forms of the article, to and tone. So we have he arche to logu, he arche to logu. The subject is he arche, the beginning, and it's then we're told a little bit more about the beginning, that it's the beginning of the word. The word is not itself the subject. Okay, so it's the beginning that is the subject. Anagnoske tus logus ton propheton. Anagnoske tus logus ton propheton. He is reading the words of the prophets. So the words there, tus logus, that's the object. And then we're told a little bit more about that. It's not just any words, it's specifically the words ton propheton of the prophets. But the prophets is not the object. So it's not in the case of the object. It's in this case it adds further specificity. Bob.
I missed something. So there's the all over the place here in each case, but I don't see hey. Where does hey come from?
Hey is the feminine. At the moment we're learning all the masculine forms.
It's just masculine.
Just masculine.
All these are all just masculine.
These at the moment are all masculine. All right. Yep. We're keeping it keeping it simple to begin with at the stage. So. Okay, over the page, 24. Akuete ton logon tu apostolou. Akuete ton logon tu apostolou. You hear the word of the apostle. So ton logon, that's the object on ending for singular object. And then tu apostolou. Apostolou telling us more, adding more specificity to the ton logon. But again, the apostle is not the object. It's the word that is the object. The apostle is telling us something more about the word. And so it is put in this other case, this genitive case. Now, the words that are in the genitive to apostolou, it can be attached to a subject, a direct object, or an indirect object. As we'll see. Now we get six sentences. Number one, he arche ton logon. He arche ton logon. The beginning of the words. So he arche is the subject. It's in the nominative case, and well, it is a feminine noun. That's why we have he instead of ha. But we'll learn the feminine endings in a future lesson. Ton logon is telling us something about that arche. Number two, hologos tu prophetu. Hologos tu prophetu. The word of the prophet. And halagos is the subject, nominative case, and to prophetu is adding specificity to that. Number three, hoi logoi ton prophetôn. Hoi logoi ton prophetôn. The words of the prophets. Again, a subject, hoi logoi, with then some more information, more specificity about it. Number four, ha apostolos graphe tus logus tu Jesu. Ha apostolos graphe tus logus tu Jesu. The apostle writes the words of Jesus. So ha apostolos, the subject, tus logus is the object, and tu Jesu, that's in our genitive case, but now it's attached to the object. It's adding specificity to the tus logus, the words of Jesus. But to Yesu is not the object, it's the words that is the object.
So we say of Jesus, not of the Jesus.
Right. We say of Jesus. Many personal names in the New Testament in Greek have the article attached to them, but we never translate that. So that indicates we have to get out of the way of thinking of the article the way that we think of it in English. It behaves
more like this particular person.
Well, in the case of Jesus, it is a definite person. And so
that means that proper nouns, like names, do you put the endings on the names?
Yes. The names generally are declined. We call declined. They have endings. You change the ending of the name according to whether it's the subject, the object, and so on. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What's the way to tell that tus Jesus is attached to the tus logos rather than the subject?
You really have to go off of word. There you do go off of word order. If it was attached to the subject, it would be ha apostolos tu Jesu. So you can't tell by the form of the word. There you would go by order, because the tu Jesu would immediately follow the noun that it is modifying. It's mostly going to be close enough to the noun that you know which noun it is modifying. There will be a few cases where you've got to wrestle with that. Genitives are take a fair bit of puzzling out in some cases as to exactly what nuance has been gotten at. But, yeah.
So, like, just at the ending of like Jesu, that would be of Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, if it was like his son, that would mean that Jesus was the somebody did something to Jesus, right?
Right.
You would say, son.
Well, so it would be Jesus as the subject, Jesun for the object, Jesu here would be of Jesus, it's going to vary according to its role in the sentence, according to its grammatical function.
What is his name in Greek? So his proper name?
Jesus. Jesus would so be the nominative. The subject case would be his name, Jesus.
Hey, Jesu, or Jesus.
Well, actually, if they were doing that, they would put it in this vocative case, which would be Jesu, which is what you use when you're addressing somebody. But if you're writing his name down on a piece of paper, it would be Jesus.
Okay.
Jesus. Okay.
So, evocative sound is like the genitive. Is it the same, or is it
It, in many cases, for Jesus, it would be similar. For many other nouns, it is different. It really depends upon what vowel you have near the end there. Number four. Hoi logoi tu apostolou aletheis eisen. Hoi logoi tu apostolou aletheis eisen. The words of the apostle are true. Now we have to apostolou. This genitive is now attached to hoi logoi. It's the words of the apostle. And eisen is the third plural of the verb to be in the present tense. Number six. Akoumen tous logous ton apostolon kai graphemen autous ento biblio. Getting longer. Akoumen tous logous ton apostolon kai graphemen autous ento biblio. So akoumen tous logous, we hear the words, tous logous, they're the object. Now the ton apostolon comes immediately after the word, so it's attached to that, modifies that. It's the words of the apostles. and then we write autus. We look back to see what does autus refer back to. It's got the same ending as tus logus, so that's just referring back to the words. And now we have ento biblio, this prepositional phrase, in the book, giving us an indirect object there. Section 5, that introduces us to this case for indirect objects and things. We have to logo, by the word or with the word, to apostolo, to the apostle, for the apostle, and then tois logois, by the words or with the words. So to logo and to apostolo are the singular, and its ending is an O, omega, with this funny little squiggle under the omega, which we call an iota subscript. It's a remnant of a letter iota that is there. It doesn't really affect how we pronounce the word. To logo. And then in the plural, the ending is ois. Ois. The article is to and tois. To and tois. And the meaning is by, with, to, for, and a whole variety of other things. That in one way or another sort of indicate indirect object. Frequently, it will be with a preposition, not always, but often there'll be a preposition with the noun. So we have, and this, you really have to get a feel for how it might work, and you've got to puzzle over what is the meaning of this particular case. This is called the dative case. Dative, from the Latin word to give. Do, dare, do. So dative is something that is given. So that's, you think of it as to. You give something to someone. The to someone there is put in this dative case, the giving it to. So we have legosin, logois. Legosin is clear. They speak. And then the logois, words, but it's not in the case is of the direct object. That would be logos. So it's not, it doesn't mean they speak words. It's somehow indirect. So you have to think, how can we translate it in such a way that makes this an indirect object rather than a direct object? So they speak by means of words is one possible way of translating it. And this is, you're sort of making a judgment call. This is where you have to have a feel, and this is where, when you read commentaries, there'll be lots of debate about what the precise meaning of a dative is in an instance. Okay. Legosin tois apostolois. Legosin tois apostolois. They say to the apostles. So we might almost say you can consider that the plain vanilla meaning of just a straight indirect object to. Speak to the apostles. Graphite epistolas auto kai legomen autois. Graphite epistolas auto kai legomen autois. You write letters. That's clear enough. Epistolas there, the object. That's with a feminine ending, just to say why it's an ending you wouldn't recognize. That will be covered in the future. Auto, to him. That's in the dative case. And legomen autois, and we speak to them, the ois ending to them. Okay. Now some little translation exercises. Number one, lego autois. Lego Altois. I am speaking to them. Graphemen tus logus Altois. Kai anagnoskusen tus logus. Graphemen tus logus Altois. Kai anagnoskusen tus logus. We write the words to them, or you say, or you could also translate it as for them, and they read the words. So, tus logus, the direct object, autois, the indirect object, and there you have to figure out, okay, in what way is it functioning indirectly? Are they the recipients of the words, so to them, or are you writing them on their behalf for them? Either would be valid translation. And they read the words, tus logus, the direct object, again. Leges logois, leges logois, you speak, and here it's not a direct object, that would be logus, logois, it's indirect in some way, you speak by means of words. And here's where generally a context is going to help you, you get a sense of what the author is driving at. Number four, legete tois logois. Legete tois logois. That's in the plural, both the verb and the object. So you, plural, speak by means of words. Number five, ha prophetes lege to apostolo tus logus tu theu. Kai ha apostolos graphe autus ento biblio. Long sentence. Okay. Ha prophetes lege to apostolo tus logus tu theu. Kai ha apostolos graphe autus ento biblio. Yeah, lots of words. Ha prophetes, but now you know, you're getting enough that you know how to think your way through a sentence like this. Ha prophetes, it's our subject, the prophet, lege, speaks, that's a verb. To apostolo, now we know from its ending that that's the indirect object. So he speaks to the apostle, tus logus, that's now our direct object. So, you see, we here unusually, we have the indirect object before the direct object, but we know which is which. Not from the order, but from the endings. But to apostolo has to be the indirect object, to the apostle. What do they speak? To slagus, they speak the words. And then to theu, a little more specificity added to that. And that follows the to slagus, not the to apostolo, so it's the words of God, not the apostle of God. And ha apostolos, another subject, the apostle writes autus, that's our object, the us ending, direct object, writes then ento biblio, in the book, an indirect object with a preposition. Okay? So a long sentence there, many nouns in all different possible cases. But now you can see how you work your way through a sentence like that, and you can see how the nouns are functioning. Right? So, okay, see if we can quickly finish off here. Section 6. Using patterns like graphe, ton logon, hamarkos. Mark writes the word, and anagnoskusen to slagus to Marku, they read the words of Mark, say in Greek, Mark writes the word. Okay, that one's easy. He always gives us the example to begin with. Graphe ton logon ha Markos. The prophet writes the word. Okay. Graphe ton logon ha prophetes. Graphe ton logon ha prophetes. The apostle speaks the words. So you remember what speak is. So it'd be lege tus logos ha apostolos. Lege tus logos ha apostolos. The apostle reads the words. Okay, anagnoske tus logos ha apostolos. They read the words of Mark. Okay, that one's easy. We're given it. Anagnoskusin tus logos to Marku. They read the words of the apostle. Anagnoskusin tus logos to apostolou. To apostolou. And they write the words of the apostles. Okay, graphusin tus logos and ton apostolon. Ton apostolon. Okay, it's a plural. Okay. Practice these requests and commands. So I would say, speaking to a group, anastete, stand up. And that's the plural imperative, and you'd if saying to one person, anastethi. Anastasis is the resurrection. You may have heard that word. Kathete and kathu. Kathete, kathu, sit down, singular, plural and singular. Akuete and akue. Akuete, akue. Listen. Meno means is a verb meaning I stay, I abide. Hamenon is the person abiding. N and then alto we've seen before. So we have this verse from 1 John. Ha theos agape estin kai hamenon en te agape en to theo mene kai ha theos en alto mene. What does that mean? We have a theos agape estin. God is love. Kai hamenon ente agape. And the one who abides in love, ento theo mene, remains in God or abides in God. Kai ha theos en alto mene. And God abides in him. And here we get some names that help you remember the meaning of words. Agatha is good. Agathos means good. Catherine is pure. Katharos means pure. And Ethel is willing. Ethelo or thelo is the verb for I am willing. Okay. And quickly finish off these in section 7. Which is the better English translation? Legusin tus logus kai hoi apostolos. Apostoloi, legusin tus logus hoi apostoloi. The apostles speak the words. The ta biblion anagnoske ha prophetes. The prophet is reading the book. Good. B. Graphe tutus tus logus ha marcos. Our corrected edition needs some more correcting. Mark writes these words. These the words. Yeah, it's odd. And then four, tus logus auto anagnosku anagnoskamen autois. Yeah, it's now we're on to better English translation. So the first one is a step-by-step translation. The words of him, that's indeed tus logus autu, and a gnoskomen autois, we are reading to them. The words of him, we are reading to them. That's not how we would say it in English. So he's asking, which is the better English translation? And it would be B, we are reading them his words. So they actually, A and B mean exactly the same thing, but B is the better English. And so in number three, A and B, B is the word-for-word translation, but that's not good English. A is the good English. Mark writes these words. Okay, there we have the noun, and a lot to try and get your mind around to think, how is each noun functioning in a sentence? And
totally different way of thinking, because, you know, in English we just like nouns and just nouns. Those are the easy things. Verbs are the hard things. And here it's like nouns are the hard things.
Mm-hmm.